Have you been wanting to homeschool your preschooler, but you have absolutely no idea where to even begin? You're in luck because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. I am going to be sharing with you the three lessons that I've learned since I started homeschooling my four-year-old when she was 2 years old. So we're about 2.5 years in now. And if you don't know, she got diagnosed with autism when she was 2.5 years old. So if you are wondering if you can even homeschool your child because they have autism or ADHD, which has very similar symptoms, then stay tuned because I'm going to be sharing with you what I have learned during our journey, and hopefully it will help you simplify your journey. Welcome to the Smart Productive Mom Podcast. My name is Lucretia, and I want to help you be more productive and present without stressing about housework. I'm spilling all the tea on how to take the overwhelm out of motherhood. So let's dive into all the juicy goodness. Let me start by telling you our journey with how she got her autism diagnosis, because I know that it happens differently for everyone. And honestly, this is one of my biggest regrets as a mom, was that I didn't listen to my gut and get her tested sooner and get her started in early intervention sooner. So whenever she was a baby, you know, she started babbling and saying dada, mama, all of that stuff, like right on track. But around 12 months, she wasn't answering to her name. So that was like my first sign there that something was going on. She wasn't pointing at things, like she wasn't looking at us whenever we would speak to her. Like it was kind of like she was looking past us, but she wouldn't really make that much eye contact. So I pretty much knew something was going on, and I had a feeling it was autism. But what really sealed the deal for me was at 15 months, she stopped the words completely and went back to babbling. And that was when I was like, okay, something is not right here. So I took her to the doctor and I told him my concerns. First, I told my husband, and he was like, oh, we'll just wait. You know, she's still little. Well, let's just wait and see what happens. So even though I was still concerned, I went along with it because I was a first-time mom. I had a lot of anxiety. I overreacted a lot and, you know, made things that weren't really a big deal. I made them like a big deal. So I went along with it, but I still felt in my gut that something just wasn't right. So that then I talked to my mom, who's also a nurse, and I was telling her what was going on. You know, she basically said the same thing as my husband. You know, she's just little. She's still going to learn. I mean, she has plenty of time to learn her words. And she wasn't in daycare or anything like that. She was around us, and it was the pandemic, so she wasn't socially around a lot of people. So, you know, it made sense that she wouldn't really be talking a lot in my brain at that time. So I was like, okay. So we went to her 18-month appointment. So this was back when she was 15 months is when I started getting concerned. So we went to her 18-month appointment, and I told the doctor my concerns. You know, like she was saying words, and now she's not saying any words at all. She's only babbling. And he said that they usually have like a vocabulary explosion. It can happen around like 24 months or so. So we'll just wait and see what happens. So I was like, okay, everyone's saying the same thing. So it must be a me problem. So I'm just going to just wait and see what happens, like everyone's telling me to do. 24 months rolls around, still no words, still babbling. We go back to the doctor, and this time I'm like, okay, she is not saying any words now. We need to do something. So that's when I finally like put my foot down. I was like, we need to do something right now. And I wish we would have started at 15 months, but she's 24 months, like whatever, let's start right now. So luckily the process went pretty quickly for us. She was in therapy within about 6 months. Like she did her eval. We got all the paperwork sent in. They called us to come in for her, like it was a full day evaluation. We did that, and they got all their paperwork sent, and the therapy called us, and like we were in like within 6 months. So if your child has been diagnosed with autism, or you know the process, 6 months was like pretty fast in our area, because it can take over a year sometimes to do the eval, because there's so many children needing these services, and there's not enough space. 6 months to get in and started with her occupational therapy and her speech therapy was very fast for our area. So she got in, and now she's doing really well. She's actually graduated out of speech therapy But whenever she stopped going, I could see her sliding back. And so I called them to see if she could get reevaluated. They said she was supposed to wait a year to get reevaluated, but now that I know what I know, I was like, no, like I'm not waiting a year. What can we do to get her in sooner? So they got us in. It was just like maybe 3 to 6 months after she graduated, we were able to get evaluated again. And so she is back in speech therapy again. So she's doing occupational and speech therapy now for her autism, and we are homeschooling. And that is what we are talking about today, is what I have learned during our, say, about 2 years, 2.5 years of homeschooling my daughter. The first lesson I've learned since homeschooling my daughter is that children learn best through play. Whenever I first started our homeschooling journey, she was 2 years old, and I was under the impression that I needed to print off all of these worksheets. I needed to have like a home area, an area in the home that looked like a school. So I thought, you know, she needed a designated place to do her work, and I needed, I don't know, like all the things you see on Instagram, like an entire like designated homeschool area. That did not work for us. First of all, whenever she was doing the worksheets, it was a hassle to even get her to sit down and do the worksheets. Like, she did not want to do them. And it was tough on her. It was tough on me because she would start crying, get all frustrated, and then I would get all frustrated. And it just made us like not even want to homeschool. So I just started researching, and what I found was something called Mommy and Me Preschool. And I'll link it below in the description so you can check it out as well. But it is a play-based curriculum. And it was like night and day for us. Like, there is one activity where she goes on a name hunt. So I will write her the letters of her name on a post-it note. So let's say I'd write an A on one post-it, I'd write an L on one post-it, so forth. So I just write each letter on its own post-it note, and then I would just stick it around the house in different areas where it's pretty obvious that it's there, but it's still a little bit hidden to kind of give her, you know, a little bit of some difficulty to it. But, you know, if I made it too difficult and she couldn't find the letters, then she would just move on and forget what we were doing. So they're kind of obvious, but kind of hidden. And so I would do that for each letter of her name, and we would use like a toilet paper roll or a paper towel roll, and that would be our telescope. And we would just go around the house looking for the letters of her name. And each time she'd find a letter, you know, we'd jump around and we'd be all excited and we'd put it on the table. And then after we found all of the letters, then I would have her put them in order. So I'd say, okay, where does the A go? Okay, next, where's the L? Okay, next, where's whatever letter? So we would put her name in order. It's how it goes. We would say her name and we would sound out each letter sound. So that made it much more fun for her because we were up playing around. And so you can do it any type of way that you want. So that's what I really love about the Mommy and Me Preschool, is that it's very flexible. You can adapt it to your own needs. So that was really fun for us. So she wanted to do the name hunt all day. Like, I would just, at one point, I just stopped even doing it with her. Like, I would just hide, put the stickies around the house, and just sit down on the couch while she would find the letters. Like, she was having so much fun learning. So we started that at around 2 years old. And so now that she's 4, like, she's very well at knowing her letter sounds. And we're actually working on reading now because she's learning she knows the letter sounds now. So just starting with simple, fun, small things like that has made a tremendous difference, instead of just sitting down and trying to force her to do these worksheets. So that was the first lesson I learned, is that, you know, they don't need to just sit down and do worksheets. Children learn best by playing. And I didn't really know what to do with her, which is why I bought the Mommy and Me Preschool, because I'm new here. Like, I didn't know what she needed to learn. And I really like that there's a kindergarten readiness checklist. So even if she doesn't go to kindergarten, like, we're still debating if we are going to send her to a hybrid kindergarten where she'll do some online and then she'll go to school for a couple days a week, or if we're just going to keep her home completely and homeschool because we really want to travel and just experience the learning rather than her just learning it in a classroom. So we're still debating about that, just depending on, you know, how our businesses are going and things like that. So even if she doesn't go to a traditional school-based kindergarten, like, we will still know what skills that she needs to learn to be ready for kindergarten. So that, I like that about the Mommy and Me preschool. And I also like that they have how long you should focus on each lesson based on your child's age. So that was very helpful because, you know, in preschool, you're there all day unless you choose to do like a half a day or some other different type of schedule. But, you know, all they really need is like 10 or 15 minutes, if even that long. Like, their attention span isn't very long. So we would just do little bursts of activities throughout the day, and that would be it. And she would learn so much. So it's better to just learn so much in a little bit amount of time rather than trying to stretch it out and focus on all of these different things. And she's not even paying attention anymore. And then you start getting frustrated. So it really worked well for us to just do, you know, a quick little activity where she was fun, she was involved, she was focused, and then we would just move on and do other things. So that's the first lesson I learned was that children need to play. They learn through playing and they learn through experiencing what is going on rather than just sitting down and learning it in a boring way. The second lesson I've learned since I've started homeschooling my preschooler is that learning doesn't only take place when we're doing learning activities. So I love the Mommy and Me preschool, but what I've learned during this journey is that she is learning so much just from experiencing life. So we made an eggplant parmesan the other day, and I had her help me cook, and she was learning so much just from doing, like, cooking with me. And she learned so much from helping us unload the dishwasher. And she learned so much from, like, instead of, you know, doing a worksheet where you're like, okay, which one is bigger? And you have like three options and she just circles which one's bigger. Instead of doing that, when we're cooking, I'll say, can you hand me the small can? And she has to look and see, you know, which one is the small can, and she'll hand it to me. Or can you hand me the red bell pepper? So now she's looking at all of our vegetables up here and she's like, which one's the red bell pepper? So she's learning through everyday experiences. So it doesn't matter, you know, how long your lessons are, even if you're just doing like 10 to 15 minutes of homeschooling a day, they are learning so much just from life. So it's not, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to like wonder if you're going to stay consistent, if you're going to do lessons every day, because they are always learning. So just live your life, narrate your life, which is something I've learned from her speech therapy, is to narrate as much as possible. So that's just what we do. Now it's become a habit where I just talk all throughout the day about what I'm doing. Even when I'm in the grocery store shopping alone, I'm like talking to myself like, I don't really like that salsa. Oh yeah, this is the salsa I like. I wonder where the chips are now, because for some reason they don't keep the salsa by the chips. Like, this is what I'm doing in the store when I'm alone. So just narrate your life. They're listening and hearing what you're saying, even when you don't think they're listening. So that was something else I learned, that you don't have to be so strict on the curriculum and trying to make yourself do it every day. They are always learning, and you can make a learning experience out of anything. Even just taking, when we go outside and walk around our cul-de-sac, like, we're looking at the grass, we're looking at leaves, we're looking at ant hills and talking about how the ants live there and all of that fun stuff. So she's always learning. So don't put so much pressure on yourself to stick with the curriculum, because you can make a learning situation out of any situation or experience and make it way more fun than just sitting down doing a worksheet. And the third lesson I've learned, which has probably been the biggest lesson that I've learned during our homeschooling journey, was not to assume that she can't do something just because she has autism. And I caught myself doing that in the beginning. Like, I would read the lesson and I would think, oh, that's way too difficult. She's not going to be able to even figure that out. So instead of assuming that she couldn't do something, I would just go ahead and do the lesson anyways and just see what her capabilities are. So I would just judge the lesson and adapt the lesson based on her capabilities instead of me assuming that she couldn't do this or she can't do that. And I think that goes for just any child, even if they don't have like autism or ADHD or anything. It's like we kind of assume that we think we know what our kids can do and what their level, their capabilities are, but we don't really know what's in their brain. So they are paying attention when we don't even know they're paying attention. So they know a lot more than we even think they know. I had to learn to just stop assuming that she couldn't do this or that, or she didn't know a letter sound, and to even just give her more time to figure it out. So she still struggles with, she'll sometimes call the letter K, she'll call it an X. And so whenever we're doing our alphabet and I'm pointing to the letters and she's saying the letter sounds, like she will still sometimes get those confused. And instead of just jumping right in and helping her because I know that she's going to get it confused, I sit there and I wait and I let her think. So we're just sitting there in silence, which can be awkward for some people. Like I know my husband, he likes to just jump right in and help her. And I'm like, you have to give her time to think it through. Like struggling is not bad. Like it's, she has to learn how to critically think. She has to learn how to work through these emotions. And that's another thing we really work on instead of just, you know, colors and letters and those basic, you know, shapes, things like that. I really like to focus on working through her emotions and labeling how she's feeling so she can express herself better. So sometimes she'll come up to me and she'll say, "Mommy, I'm upset." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, like what happened?" So just really, that's one of our big focuses is working on her expressing how she's feeling and working, learning to work through those emotions and processing those emotions because they're not bad. Like being mad isn't bad. It's the things you do when you're mad that can be bad. But being mad in itself is not a bad thing. We all get mad. We all get frustrated. We all get sad. So just learning how to express herself in a healthy way and labeling those emotions so she knows how she's feeling. And, you know, those awkward silences when she's just sitting there and she's just thinking, like, is this a K or is it an X? I kind of know, but I don't really know. Like, just letting her just work through all that in her brain and just sitting there in the silence. So I know that can be awkward for some people, but just learn to not jump in and save them every time you think they need to be saved. Let them learn how to process their emotions and figure things out for themselves, because that is such a huge life lesson to learn. And the better, the earlier you can learn it, the better. So learning how to critically think is so important, and learning how to think for yourself is something that a lot of us don't learn when we're going through school because we're just kind of following the crowd and trying to fit in. So we're not learning really how to think for ourselves and, you know, be brave enough to make our own decisions. So that's one thing that we really focus on is just, you know, watching her figure things out. So she may get frustrated and that's okay. You know, eventually if she doesn't figure it out, like I've even taught her, you know, how to ask for help, because that's one thing she was struggling with is asking for help. So in speech therapy and at home, we've been working on, you know, telling her how to ask for help. So whenever she is ready for the help, so I would just let her, you know, think. And if she gets frustrated, she just gets frustrated. And then whenever she's ready, you know, I'll say, "Do you need help?" Or she'll just ask me for help. She'll say, "Mommy, can you help me?" And I'm like, "Of course." So just letting them come to you when they're ready to ask for help, or, you know, just kind of nudging them, be like, "Do you need help?" after it's been a while. So just let them, give them time to figure it out on their own instead of, you know, just jumping in and trying to save them immediately because you don't want to watch them get upset or get frustrated. That's okay. Learning to process your emotions, it's okay. So those are the three lessons that I have learned since we began our homeschooling journey. And if you are interested in the Mommy and Me preschool curriculum, I will have it linked down below. It has over 20 weeks of activities for you that are educational. They're fun. They're simple. Most of the supplies you need, you already have them at home, like maybe like post-it notes, a pen, right? Like simple things that you probably already have at home, and they're really fun and they won't take you a lot of time to do. So like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And like I said, you don't even have to do it every single day because they're constantly learning. So if you're not doing the curriculum activity, like get outside and do something, or do something in the living room, do something fun, build some blocks or whatever. And another thing is, don't feel like you have to play with them all the time either, because independent play is so important too. And it's also important that for them to learn what to do when they're bored and learn how to entertain themselves. So my daughter will come to me and she's like, "Mommy, I'm so bored." I'm like, "Okay, like that's part of life." Like, I'm not having fun every day either. Like, I get bored too. Like, that's okay. It's okay to be bored. So you don't have to entertain your child 24/7. You don't have to do every activity with them. Like, they can be bored. They can learn to entertain themselves. So just include them in everyday activities as much as possible. And I think that is where bulk of the learning comes from anyways. And that's really the things you want them to learn is like life skills, like learning how to cook and learning how to pour their own drinks and learning how to go and open Ziploc bags and things like that. So just focus on a lot on life skills. And like I said, she has the kindergarten readiness checklist for you. So you can go through that and just see what skills to focus on even more. And always, always, always trust your gut. If that's one thing that I've learned is to trust your gut, do what you believe is right, advocate for your child no matter what anyone else is saying, and believe in yourself. Alrighty, I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Productive Mom podcast. If you found this information helpful, please leave a written review so more moms can find this show. And if you want to connect with the super moms in this community, come hang out with us in the Smart Productive Mom Facebook group. I can't wait to connect with you. See you there.